Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our first reading is from the epistle, from the writing to the church in Ephesus. I'll be reading from the first chapter, verses 15 to 23 from Ephesians. If you'd like to use your pew Bible, you're welcome to turn to page 1423. Hear now these words. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Our second reading comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, from the 24th chapter, starting with verse 44. And that's found on Pew Bible page 1288. Then Jesus spoke to them. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I'm sending you what my father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Insert sneeze here. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for the reminder of our call, of who Christ is, and showing us how to live into that call, and how we are to go out in the world to be reflections of your grace and your mercy. Allow these words to stir within us, to open our hearts and our minds, that we may hear afresh what you would have us hear this day, that it will challenge and strengthen us to do your good work into the world. And so may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, today is Ascension Sunday. Anybody know what that means? Okay. So, we'll start here. Jesus was born, yes. Then Jesus was baptized, and he went into the wilderness, and then he did 3 years of ministry. And all during the 3 years of ministry, he said, there's going to be a day when I'm not with you anymore. You need to learn what I'm teaching you. And then we get to Holy Week, and Jesus is abused, right? Crucified, died, buried, and resurrected from the dead, right? When do we celebrate that? thank you, Easter. And then after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples, right? And so Jesus was making appearance throughout the land post his resurrection for about 40 days. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Yes, about 40 days. And so on that 40th day, that is when Jesus ascended into heaven, meaning that he left the earth and returned to the Father. And Jesus says, but you need to wait here because something is coming. So all along, Jesus was preparing them for the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is what we remember and celebrate on Pentecost Sunday, right? Pentecost means 50, and it was a festival within the Jewish community. And so there's a small gap where Jesus has ascended, but we're waiting for the Holy Spirit. And so this Ascension Sunday is when Jesus says, I'm no longer with you, and he withdraws from them, right? And it reminds us of when Elijah is ascended to God after fulfilling his role as prophet for God's chosen people. And so, you know, we say that Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, right? Well, how did Jesus get there? Well, Jesus had to leave the earth in order to be with God. But I love the term withdrew because it doesn't necessarily relate to ascending, right? It was Jesus was there and then Jesus was not with them anymore. And so we kind of infer a lot of details in that. And partly because, like I said a little earlier, reading The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry has shifted my understanding of this idea of withdrawing. Because we know that there were the days in the wilderness when Jesus was sent out by the Holy Spirit to wander in the wilderness, and it was a time of testing. And so close to the end is when, you know, Satan challenges Jesus and even uses scripture to challenge Jesus. And we seem to think of it as a time of journey, of preparation, of really taking down Jesus's defenses, right, towards the end. But in this reading, the book that we're reading for this month, that was a season of Jesus being imbibed with God's power, right? So this is that gap between baptism and the work of ministry, 40 days, which is a really long time. Jesus is actually communing with God and being in God's presence and being tended to and is being filled with all of the energy and strength and encouragement and words from God in order to bear good fruit of ministry when he goes out, right? So this idea of withdrawing means that Jesus has given us all of the things that we possibly need, and now it's our turn. Does that make sense? Now it's our turn. That whatever Jesus has taught us, it is time for us to put into practice, to show the world that what Jesus taught is, in fact, what God intends for us. And so this idea of Jesus going means that it is now time for us to step in and do the good work that God has called us to do. And so to ascend, you know, or withdrew, however you want to imagine it, we would not be able to do what we need to do if Jesus was still present. Does that make sense? Right? Because Jesus needed to go so that we could receive what? The Holy Spirit, right? And it is that Holy Spirit that we claim in our baptisms. It is that Holy Spirit that we call upon to bless the elements when we celebrate Holy Communion, when we take the bread and we drink the juice, that we receive the gift of grace. It is the Holy Spirit that sometimes in conversation with others, we think of that still small voice that tells us, are you really sure that's what you want to do? Is that really what God intends? I remember those old Looney Tunes cartoons where you had the little white angel on one shoulder and the little red devil on the other. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it was like they were constantly talking and you're caught in the middle. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one that, you know, says, hey, is this really what God intends for you? Right? And so we hear this, and Jesus says, wait here, and the advocate will come. Now, in all the other times that Jesus had left his disciples, does anybody want to, you know, so after resurrection, or actually after Christ's death, the disciples, what type of emotion would you associate with the disciples? They were what? Scared. What else? Sad. What else might they have been?
Angry.
Confused. Right? So all of these emotions of this way of life that Jesus had taught them, and they're thinking, what do we do from here? Where do we go from here? And what we don't remember is that in that first appearing to the disciples after resurrection, Jesus said, peace be with you. And he breathed on them. Did y'all know that? That he breathed on them in that space. And when we think about breath, we think about pneuma, we think about the Spirit. That Jesus was actually gifting them the Spirit then. And then the Spirit was going to come for everyone else a little later. And all of those emotions of scared, confused, angry, mad, scared, whatever you want to say, turns to a whole different set of emotions. Then when Jesus withdrew from them, what did they feel? They felt joy. They felt delight. There was a sense of peace of this new way of being that even though it was going to be a difficult journey for them, they knew that they were well equipped for that journey. Because Christ had taught them. Christ had breathed on them the very Spirit of God. And Christ left so that they could then become the image and witness of Christ in the world. And there was a sense of joy and delight in that. And so I wonder, friends, how often do you think about yourselves as Jesus image bearers? Do you ever see yourself as Jesus incarnate? Not to say that we're perfect, we're not, but the fact that whatever it is that God imbibed in Jesus, his teachings, instructions, encouragement, Holy Spirit, do you see yourselves as vessels of that? Well, I'm hearing crickets, which means that we're challenged to think of ourselves in that way. Right? That when we say be light into the world, who was the light? Jesus. So when I say be light into the world, I'm asking you to be like Jesus in the world. When I'm asking you to do the things that Jesus asks of us, to take care of the sick, to feed the hungry, to shelter the unsheltered, to clothe those who are in need of clothes, to visit those who are imprisoned. Those are Jesus' instructions. And when you go and do those things, you are Jesus-like. Right? None of that would have happened had Jesus not withdrawn from the world to gift us the Holy Spirit. And so we remember that as Jesus is high and lifted up, we too can be high and lifted up like Jesus. That we can be like Jesus into the world. Can I get an amen? So friends, I'm going to challenge you. How are you embodying Jesus today? Have you really taken the teachings, this way of life, and made it your own? And are you allowing the Holy Spirit to speak on your shoulder as that still small voice to say, go, teach the world about me. Go out into the world to make my disciples so that all may come to know the truth and love of God. So be Jesus-like out there, in here, and everywhere, because that will show how Jesus was high and lifted up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.